stand as you're able to do so. This is the day that the Lord has made. Praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Compassionate God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Savior. Bring wholeness to all that is broken. Speak truth to us in our confusion, that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb, the day of the assembly, when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord my God anymore, or ever again see his great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 111 responsively with me. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works, and
the works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have been understanding. His praise endures forever.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Now concerning food sacrificed to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by him. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and that there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there are many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. It is not everyone, however, who has this knowledge, since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of an idol, might they not, since our conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, those weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their failing, I will never eat meat, so that I may not cause one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Saint Mark. Oh, I guess you were waiting for me to finish that. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Silent and come out of him. Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to Christ.
You may be seated. Stay. So, I'm not going to preach on the second reading today, but I think it's very clear what it's instructing to us to do, which is to go eat more tofu. Unless, of course, that got a better laugh here. You might be more awake. I don't know. Unless, of course, that tofu is sacrificed to an idol, in which case, maybe don't eat it. So, nope. That laugh, that was what I got the first time. Anyway, I think the problem is me, not you. So I spent the part of this past week at Ohio's rostered leader gathering. It's a gathering meant for pastors and deacons of Ohio's three synods. So we have the Northwestern Ohio Synod. We have the Northeastern Ohio Synod. And Southern Ohio, it only gets one synod. It's just the Southern Ohio Synod, not West and East. So we met the pastors and the deacons and three bishops and their staffs at Sawmill Creek Resort in Sandusky, which, to be very clear, is not Upper Sandusky. It's Sandusky by the lake with Cedar Point. That's right. Upper Sandusky is over there. It's at the upper reaches of the Sandusky River, which is why it's called Upper. It does not have Cedar Point. Okay? All right. I'm glad that we cleared that up. I've had to explain that a few times. Anyway, so this gathering took place in a large conference space at the resort. So like, you know, I don't know, ceilings about like this, right? Very tall ceilings, 20-foot ceilings. There were, inside the space, 30 or 40 round tables spread throughout this room, and then there were chairs spread around the table, and those chairs would be angled towards the front of the room, which had a big screen and a podium, and that's where we would direct our attention most of the time, where the speaker of the moment was talking, and then that's where we would direct our attention when we were worshiping. And then at other times, when we were eating lunch or dinner, or when the speaker asked us to, we would direct our attention inwards to the others at the table, towards the other churchy people at our individual tables. Now, outside of this room was a gathering area of sorts. It was another big room, equally tall ceilings, about a third of the size as the one we were gathered in. And it had some tables set up with people advertising various churchy things and, you know, selling a few things. I bought a green stole that I could leave over at St. Paul. On the other side of this gathering area was another conference space, an even bigger conference space. Same sort of setup, round tables, screened in the front of the room, a podium, and I think they had a stage. Why did they have a stage? Because they had more money than us, okay? It was a room about size for 200 people or so. And why did they have more money than us? Because they were evil capitalists. That's right. Do we have any bankers here? Any bankers in the room? Oh, that's really disappointing because I was going to have a lot of fun today. Not just any capitalists, the worst kind of capitalists. Bankers. Huntington Wealth Management. Now is when I have to pause and say, please don't write me any angry emails and be like, you're making fun of bankers and capitalists. I am being extremely sarcastic today, as normal. Don't write the bishop and be like, Sean was mean, okay? All right. What was striking to me about the setup of these conference rooms was not the inside of these conference rooms. It's a normal conference setup, right? But what was striking was the separateness of these spaces, right? So on this one side, we had the religious-y, churchy people, right? And then in the middle, we didn't just have a wall. We had a wall and then a giant gathering space that was like 10 times bigger than it needed to be, right? The tables that were set up in that room could have fit into our gathering area, okay? So it was, but the other thing about this gathering space, it was only for the religious-y people. There wasn't even a door into the other conference room for this gathering area. They had a completely separate gathering area, right? So there was one, way too big, and two, it was a single gathering area. And then, on the other side of that other wall, there were the bankers, right? Because this overly big gathering space, in my opinion, was to keep those bankers from having to hear us, right? Because you wouldn't want these sort of banker capitalists to start doing something like, oh, I don't know, caring for the poor, would you? Come on, it's a joke! Gonna get angry emails. And we wouldn't want us to hear from them, you know, us pious churchy people. We would rather pretend that our bank accounts and our loans and our investments, that they don't benefit from what's going on over there in that other room. We're separate. We're pious. We're churchy. All right. Going to dig into the gospel for a little bit. I can't help but being struck by what the man with the unclean spirit cries out to Jesus. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you to do with us? This unclean spirit is trying to draw a line, a distinction between itself and Jesus. As in, there's no room in this world for both you and I, Jesus. Or sorry, completely opposite of what I wanted to say. There is room. There is room in this world for both you, Jesus, and me, Jesus. So if you just stay over there in your space, and I just stay over here in my space, right? You don't bother me. I don't bother you. And we'll both be happy. Just like the churchy people and the capitalists. Before I continue, I want to make clear that I am not comparing churchy people and banker the churchy people to Jesus and the bankers to the evil demon-possessed man. Okay? Bankers aren't demon-possessed. Some may be. Not all. That would be a very unfaithful use of this text, right? A very unfaithful interpretation of this text. What I'm emphasizing instead is that evil itself desires separateness and division. You see, evil doesn't just want walls. Evil wants the churchy people over here, a wall, a giant gathering space, another wall, and then itself. You know, again, bankers aren't evil. God forbid a banker strike up a conversation with a pastor or vice versa. We have to keep them separate. And I'm not saying that this didn't happen, but I will tell you that in the time that I was there, and there was ample time for it, I did not see one pastor strike up a single conversation with a banker, right? That's me included. Not a single, hey, where are you from? How long are you here? Right? Not even a simple, hi, how are you? Because they belonged over there, and we belonged over there, And if we, your church leaders, your churchy church leaders, are going to hold on to this separateness, are going to hold on to this separation and this division, then how on earth am I supposed to come in here and tell you to go out there, to leave this churchy space and go out there into the secular space and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ? Jesus knows exactly what to do with this unclean spirit. Jesus rebukes the spirit and shouts, "Be silent," and come out of him. This is Jesus' first act in the Gospel of Mark. First thing that Jesus does. A Jesus that has no tolerance for evil. A Jesus that destroys evil. A Jesus that strips away the evil of separateness and division. In the reading from Mark today, we hear this. The people were amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to the impure spirits," and they obey him. And Jesus does not keep this authority to himself. Moving on quickly, as Mark does, to chapter 3, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So those people that he picked, pastors, deacons, and bishops, right? Scribes, Pharisees, right? No, because you're all better than us. Okay, right? Fishermen. He picks a band of misfits. That's right. Random fishermen. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Andrew and his brother Simon Peter. We know Simon Peter, right? He didn't have any failings, did he? He never denied anything about Jesus. No? Okay. Philip, Bartholomew. Matthew, Thomas, we all know about that guy, right? James, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and of course, who's left? Did you know that he was the banker? Just saying. The one who would betray Jesus, the purse keeper. None of whom, by the way, would stay with Jesus in his final hour. None of them did. Now, what do all of those people have in common? They're men. You know who did stay with Jesus in his final hour? Thank you. And still, Jesus gives them the authority to rebuke spirits, to destroy evil, and to do this, right? They do it. They do it. For Mark chapter 6, they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So, you're here today. I'm going to ask you a question. Well, I'm going to make a statement, and I'm going to see if you disagree with me. You are all disciples. Anyone who's willing to say that they're not. Andrew's like, I'm out. Fair. Okay. So if, seeing no hands other than, you know, Andrews, he's 7, it's okay. Seeing no hands, if we are Jesus' disciples, then there are some implications to that. What does that mean for you and for me? For me, it means to be better than I was this past week. For you, it means to be better than I was this past week. To be more courageous and bolder than I was at the roster leader gathering this week. So I come up here every Sunday and I preach to you, which is a form of what? Public speaking, right? Raise your hand if you're afraid of public speaking. All right. There's a whole lot of hands in here of people who don't like coming in front of other people and speaking. It's a thought that terrifies many. I'm willing to do it. I actually enjoy doing it, right? I'm willing to come up here. I'm willing to tear open a bag of Cheerios, right? And spray all over the sanctuary. I'm willing to come up here with a leaf blower and a roll of toilet paper and shoot the toilet paper up into the ceiling, right? I'm willing to do these things. I'm willing to make a fool of myself. And still, I cannot muster a simple, "Where are you from and how long are you going to be here?" when I'm with a bunch of bankers. What is wrong with me? No, instead I act like a weirdo introverted pastor. You know why? Because I'm a weirdo introverted pastor. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that what I should do, I'm not saying that what I should do in spaces like that is to come over here and say, "Oh, hi, I'm Sean. How are you today? Have you heard of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let me tell you about him." No, I'm not saying that you do that, because guess what? Dennis is on break and all he wants to do is go get a cup of coffee, right? But what I can do is say, "Hi, I'm Sean. How are you? How long are you going to be here? Oh, you're with Huntington? That's cool. Are you fleecing the widows today?" It's a joke! But couldn't I have been curious about another human being who is, at the end of the day, just trying to make their way in a world that is already hard enough to navigate? Maybe that person would have had a preconceived notion about weirdo Christians, okay, or weirdo pastors that may have been disrupted just a little bit if I just engaged them in conversation, right? Or, and here's a wild thought that didn't even occur to me until I sat down to write the sermon. Maybe there were some pastors in that room. Not pastors, Christians. How about that? Maybe there were some Christians in that room. That's wild. Mind blown. Maybe we could have connected over our mutual love for Jesus, right? Might it have gone a little ways towards breaking down that barrier, that separation that had been put in place by the wall and the huge space in between it that we as humans put in place in these conference spaces. Jesus is doing away with the evil exists over there and good exists over here paradigm. Jesus is having none of the separateness in which evil delights, because guess what? Evil delights in separateness. None of the division in which evil flourishes, because guess what? Evil flourishes in division. And that means that there is no divide in Jesus Christ. There is no pastor versus not pastor. There are no churchy people over here and pastors and bishops versus bankers. There are just children of God. And while there is no separation, there is a distinction, right? There is no separation, but you, because you are here in this space today, we agreed that we are disciples, right? It was like a covenant we made, something like that. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. And as such, we have been given an authority, yes, but more importantly, as disciples, we have a responsibility. The authority is to proclaim the good news and to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But if we start there, we are getting way, way, way ahead of ourselves, right? I don't start by coming over to Dennis and say, "Dennis, how are you today? When did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior?" Right? That's not where I start. Because his answer, anyway, I know his answer. It's when he was baptized, right? And Dennis didn't accept Jesus. Jesus accepted Dennis. Anyway, that's another sermon. The responsibility we have is to see the other not as what our eyes tell us, I don't look over here at Dennis and see him simply as a banker or as an insurance salesman, right? Fancy shoes, tie, must be a banker. I was, you know what? It was the illusion. They couldn't see your shoes, okay? My job, our job, everyone's job is to see Dennis exactly how God sees Dennis. He's a child of God. He's a child of God. Our responsibility is to be curious about Dennis, right? If you're a pastor, you're supposed to be curious about the banker. You're supposed to be curious about the one among you who isn't like you. The belief that the other is also a beloved child of God casts out the evil inclinations we carry in our hearts that separate us and divide us. Not preconceived notions, curiosity. Curiosity. Carry that word with you out of this place today. If nothing else, curiosity. Pastors, deacons, and bishops, and bankers are beloved children of God. The poor, of course, beloved children of God, but guess who else is? The rich. The rich and the bankers are beloved children of God. Do you know who else is? The oppressor. The oppressors. They are beloved children of God, and so are the people they oppress. The young are children of God, of course, but so are the old people. I'm not looking at anyone in particular. Boomers, I'll look out at y'all. Millennials, Gen Zers, whatever generation they end up being, right? All beloved children of God. And you know it as well as I do. I could stand here for the rest of this entire day and tomorrow and the rest of this week and month and name the different ways that we are divided as a people, the things that keep us separate. These categories, these divisions, both real and imagined, are endless, and they grow and they grow and they grow, and it seems that we grow further and further and further apart. And still, we rest in the knowledge that in God's eyes, we are children of God. Because guess what, Dennis? You will never look at a single person, and I will never look at a single person in the face and their eyes. We will never look at a person who God doesn't love. Right? And for that, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He descended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So mostly to keep everybody on their toes, I'm going to try something different today. Are there any prayer concerns that you would like me to lift, like us to lift together in our prayers today? Turn my mic.
Do I need to say it again? Anyone have any specific prayer concerns today for our prayers of intercession? Yes. Your son, David, who continues to recover from his ankle, right? Yep. Anyone else?
The family of Ronnie and the family of Melissa, they both lost parents.
Family of Ronnie
and Melissa. They're two separate families.
Okay. Okay. Anyone else?
My daughter Susan, her mental illness.
Okay. Yes. Natalie. Okay. We will raise them in prayer. As we celebrate Christ embodied in human form, we pray for God's blessing on the church, the world, and all of creation.
Renewing God, we pray for all of creation, that waterways flow clean and clear, natural spaces are protected, and our planet is healed. Let us commit to thoughtful care of the earth. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Loving God, we pray that your example of teaching with confidence and authority builds up your church in love. You have given this authority to earthly leaders and teachers. May we build up what is life-giving and tear down that which brings death and destruction. May all church leaders and teachers, including bishops, pastors, deacons, and lay leaders, honor your instruction and model your ways. God of grace.
Justice-seeking God, we pray for those in government and community leadership, that they lead with honor and mindfulness. They have made promises to be faithful, to uphold the responsibilities of their roles, and to the people they have been called to serve. If they have strayed from these ideals, turn their hearts and minds towards the good of their communities, states, nations, and this world. May they remember their covenants and their uprightness in their ways. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Compassionate God, we pray for all in need, especially those who have known rejection, any who struggle with long-term illness and chronic pain, those without access to safe housing or health care, and any who suffer. Today, we especially lift Barb, Peggy, Carol, Ed, Sally, Paul, Marianne, Dwayne, Caleb, Nancy, Jim, Karen, Marcella, Karen, Sandy, Deb, Bill, Linda, Wilma. We lift especially today those who await surgery, Amanda, those who are recovering, David, those who are struggling with illness, mental and otherwise, Susan and Natalie. We lift those who have lost loved ones, Ronnie and Melissa. And we lift those and others, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. End wars, fighting, and violence that plagues this world, and hold in safety the innocents that suffer as a result of this continued brokenness and sin. God of grace.
Still speaking, God, we pray for this congregation, First Lutheran Church, for its musicians, and those involved in planning and carrying out worship, that those gathered here may be renewed to be sent into the world as witnesses to Christ, for those that welcome all faces, both old and new, for those who lead this mission of feeding the people of Galleon in mind, body, and spirit, that all gifts are used for the care of those in need, and to live out your example of accomplishments, gospel witness, and love. God of grace,
receive our prayer. Knowing the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, we offer these prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. This time we will continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, Holy One, for all the good things come from you. In bread and the cup, you open heaven to us. Meet us at this table that may we receive what we seek, and follow your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan you proclaimed him your beloved son, and in the miracle of water turned to wine you revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Bless, Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life, blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. We know that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is died. Christ is risen.
Christ is coming. With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming.
Amen.
Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. Make your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. This is the table where there is no separation, there is no division. It is a table where all are welcome, and heaven and earth are joined together as one. So please come and see that our Lord is good.
Mercy.
Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Giver of every gift, Christ's body is our food, and we are Christ's body. Raise us to life by your power, for the benefit of all, and to the glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Don't say the part where I say stand up. See how we fix that? Anyway, all right, a few announcements. Check the bulletin boards for announcements. Cool. I like that. If you want to be educated, stay after worship today, and we will hang out and chat about 1 Corinthians, whatever we read today, 8, 6, 8, that's the whole chapter of it, right? You had to listen to the whole chapter of it today. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that in more detail, so if you're interested, please hang out with us. And also, I had a few people express interest in wanting to be part of conversations between here and St. Paul about worship opportunities, particularly around Lent and whatnot, and potentially in the future, missional sort of sharing. It is not a consolidation committee. I repeat, not a consolidation committee. Okay, if you're willing to do that, my desire would be for us to meet this Wednesday, because Lent's coming up real soon. And we would probably look to meet in the evening. So if you would like to be a part of that, please let me know today or before Wednesday evening. Any other announcements this morning? All right. I have a question. How did the whole me asking if there were prayer concerns today thing, was that a good thing, not a good thing? We liked it, okay, maybe. So I think in the future I'll expand that to prayer concerns and thanksgivings, like, because we're a thankful people too. This is the day that the Lord has made, is what I say, and you say? You guys are learning. Yes! You guys don't, we could cancel this adult education. Nah, just kidding. All right, and with that, stand up, sit down, doesn't matter, let's get a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.